Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I'm Tim, and welcome to the podcast, where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. And today, the topic of our podcast is Crazy Charlie Hatcher. It's Charlie Ray Hatcher. He was a serial killer back in the 70s and 80s. We're going to talk about all of his dastardly deeds. But before we do, let me introduce our panel. I am happy to be joined again, as always, by... she's got a new... I got a new intro for her. And that is the pill-poppin', penis-lovin', Satan's girl.
What the fuck was that?
Brandy.
What is that?
Pill-poppin', penis-lovin', Satan's girl.
Yeah.
I like it.
Someone had posted that, and I probably should have looked... and check, double check to see who that was before. I think it was Allie, maybe, had posted it. And I love that. Penis-loving, pill-popping, penis-loving, Satan's girl.
I don't... Okay.
I like that better than your old intro. So I think we're going to go with that.
Okay.
But at least I said you're penis-loving. I mean, you know, because the Colonel, you know, he raises that as a
No, I just said it one time.
No, you always talk about her softball career.
I didn't
question her.
I just want to hear the stories.
Oh, I see. I thought you were questioning
like
her.
Like I would tell you.
No, I mean, they get in the, you know, I just want to hear about...
You know, they started with a little pillow fight.
Yeah, and they got the teddies on, yeah. And then all of a sudden they're fixing each other's hair, and yeah. Oh, you're so pretty, and then... Then they're wrapped around in their arms, hugging.
Oh, I mean, you know that never happens, right?
Oh, it happens all the time.
Stop like it, devil.
Here's the thing.
You like to kill dreams.
I know. I see it all.
I see it all the time.
But you have. Did you ever live in the dorm?
Yeah.
Most girls walk around in, like, mismatched sweatpants.
I didn't live in a co-ed dorm.
Like a crazy t-shirt. Yeah, we're not running around in negligee all the time.
Why do you have to run things all the time?
Because you all are assholes. So this is fun for me.
I've seen a bunch of movies where it's happened.
I know.
So,
yeah. It seemed like it's a common occurrence.
I saw a movie that had Godzilla. So...
Godzilla's a lesbian? Godzilla's a lesbian.
If we're going with things that happen in movies, I mean, there's a great many things.
And you know what happens in movies a lot, Timmy?
What?
And this is what I never understand about women. Why do you order pizza when you got no money to pay?
Yeah. I mean, it's really, clearly you're not thinking ahead.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. We're talking about different movies.
But it happens in the movies.
Yeah. In your movies.
It does. It happens
in your
a lot.
Movies, I'm sure it does.
Yeah.
In movies, and a lot of movies too, and maybe you'll have to clear this one up, because you seem to be very anti-dirty flower.
I am anti-dirty flower.
But in the movies, they always seem to be...
It happens a lot.
They ask for that.
Well, you know, I'm generally opposed to the dirty flower, but, you know, I have on occasion...
Partake in.
When it's been requested, it's never been anything that I initiated. No. But, you know, I always try to think of the others.
If Mama's not happy, nobody's happy, Timmy.
Well, I try to, you know, if someone puts in a special request,
Do they have to submit it a week in advance?
On a form? It would help. I just never found it to be that all that. But, you know, I know a lot of guys are into it.
You don't want your surveys to get... You don't want your Yelp... You don't want to be put on Yelp if you turn somebody down.
Exactly. Now, okay,
using service.
All right, yeah. So I went to the, you know, a couple weeks... Last weekend, not this past weekend, but the weekend before that, I went to Chicago. And it's the first time I ever stayed in... I think I mentioned this last time. First time I ever stayed in an Airbnb. Which is basically
an Airbnb.
You're in somebody's house.
Yeah, basically you're staying in someone's house. And this one, you know, had a separate entrance and everything, which is fine. It was fine. I wouldn't do it again, but only because I like my privacy and I like to feel that I am, you know, in a hotel room and whatever. But, you know, you rate them, like, afterwards, right?
Mm-hmm.
Except... You know, you go to Yelp, you go to a hotel travel advisor or whatever, and you give them your overview. Except on Airbnb, they rate you too.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I was called quiet and unassuming. So
quiet and unassuming.
Well,
left the sheets a little bit of a mess.
No. They said I was very clean, quiet, and unassuming, and they would love to have me again. So it's never going to happen because I'm never going to stay at one again. Although hotels are so expensive anymore. It's really getting to a point.
If anybody comes to Cincinnati and they need a hotel room,
they can stay with Chip.
Well, sure. Absolutely. Yes.
So all of our listeners out there, if you're in the Cincinnati area and you need a place to stay, the Colonel would be happy to put you up.
I mean,
all the boys are gone. You've got the extra room.
I've got about three extra rooms at the house now.
Yeah. You could totally do that.
Mm-hmm. You could. Have you ever thought about it?
Being an Airbnb?
Yeah.
I have thought about doing it for...
Scandinavians.
Attractive. I don't want to discriminate. I mean, I got a cutoff. Obviously, you can't be over 35 or something. You can't be a...
Well, because then you have a penis.
Right.
So you're only letting females stay.
You need to make one of those rooms our studio.
We should do that. We should record at my house.
Okay,
because you know what? Renee would be so happy to have us there doing podcasts.
She would. Well, if we give her babysitting duty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, we'll tell her she's in charge of Timmy.
We barely are able to do these podcasts when we're all in the same building, so I can imagine.
Speaking of Mrs. Carter, you didn't... you know what? I've been talking, you didn't introduce me.
Yeah, let me do that. You shouldn't have been. We need a way to have individual mics so I can cut your mic off when you're talking.
Supposed to check into that, too.
Yeah, we're working on to improve the quality of our sound because we know that we get...
We've been asked for so many refunds.
Yeah. But anyway, let me introduce the very honorable and distinguished man about town.
Penis lover.
I don't know if he's a penis lover.
I assume he loves his own.
He loves his own.
Yeah, love the little
peni. Penis. Yeah, I guess it's singular.
No, peni is plural.
Plural. So, penis lover, the very honorable, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawkwaters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. Yes, you are a sir, although I think someone on the History Dweebs, the podcast page, said that you actually could not be a sir.
Yeah, they were wrong.
Because you're a dickwad.
They was wrong.
Because you're a dickwad, that's why you can't be a sir.
No, I think they said Americans cannot be. I don't know.
We
have to check with the Lady Beverly. Because she's in that aristocracy over there, so she would know.
She's an Aristotle.
Yeah, she's an Aristotle.
Timmy, you got, first of all, I was told, now, Brandy and I had to lie and tell Renee, we had the boys' graduation party Saturday.
Yes.
The devil was there. Little Noah was there. He's a cute little guy.
Yes, I heard Little Noah had a wonderful time.
Well, I got a little nephew, and the little nephew is just a tornado. I mean, mm-hmm. The boy won't sit still, and if you have a space 8 foot wide, he will just run back and forth. He's like, you know, on a sugar high all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's amusing to watch, but then all of a sudden, Noah showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is Brandy's son.
At some point, we thought
boy
we were
didn't
gonna,
seem so bad.
We thought we were going to have to sit them both down and put ice packs on their head. Timmy, I'm not kidding you. The sweat was stuck to their head. It was running around like two cats chasing each other. It was fun to watch. I mean, they had a good little time. So, but we had to convince Renee that you was deathly ill. Because otherwise she was going to come gunning for you for not being there, Timmy.
Well, I was sick over the weekend still, but I'm feeling better now. But congratulations, Logan. I'm very happy that you...
and he appreciates you. He said to tell you thank you very much for the gift from you, too. It was very nice of you.
He is very welcome. I'm very happy that he's going to be a very talented photographer, and he's going to eventually go to... Is he going to UC now?
He's going to start at UC in the fall.
University of Cincinnati, my alma mater, so carrying on a tradition of excellence.
So, and you know, I got a few shout outs here, Timmy.
Please tell Renee that it was, you know, Renee knows I'm like nuts, right?
And she does.
She knows that I'm.
She understands.
I don't do social gatherings very often.
But here's a crazy thing, Devil. Now Renee's got this party going on, and she's driven me fucking crazy with.
Right.
For 3 weeks.
Right.
Okay. And she's rushing and rushing and rushing. And then I say, you know what? Is Tim coming? She asked me about 10 times. Is Tim coming?
Well, you don't, because you weren't there.
And then she says to me, like twice, does Timmy need us to pick him up?
Okay, so how long have we worked together?
You should, feel really bad.
I do feel really bad. How long have we worked together, though? 4 years, 5 years?
Oh, no, I knew you wasn't going to be at the party.
All right, and how many social events have I went to in all that time?
I think one.
One.
One?
Yes.
I was not expecting you, Tim. I'm just telling you, for some reason, Mrs. Colonel has a soft spot for Timmy, and every time she wants Timmy to be somewhere. And she's, well, do I need to go pick up Timmy? Do I need to go? I'm like, would you leave Timmy alone for Christ's sake?
You guys
are
very nice. You always invite me, and you always invite me for holidays and stuff, and both of you do. And I really appreciate it. Just I don't do well in that setting, so. But I certainly appreciate it.
Well, let me get to my shout-outs here. And, of course, I got, and you just got to. I don't know her very well, but just from her picture, she just looks like the sweetest girl in the world, little Sarah Spaghetti.
Yeah,
doesn't she just look like just like sweet
very
little,
sweet. I don't
little
know if
girl?
She's a little girl, but she's very sweet.
Well, she's younger than my girl, probably.
Yeah,
my girl's 30, so anybody younger than that's a girl to me.
By the way, tell Sarah I love her. I love her post. Her post on Facebook always cracks me up. Your daughter, Sarah.
She shames the family.
No, she does not. I think she fits right in.
we got of course Tiffany Bell, and of course my trusted legal counsel, Nicola.
So she's your legal counsel now.
She is my legal counsel. I paid her in Bitcoin today, Timmy.
Bitcoin.
Bitcoin. And
you know, I'm on this website where you Skype with these women, and you they do certain things for you.
Hmm.
Only that's called you pay them with, but only that's called Bitcoins.
Bitcoins.
Yeah.
I think that's what the devil's got in her desk over here. When this morning we need to change for a soda machine. Uh-huh. I was like, yeah, I have Bitcoins in there. But
wow. Wow.
That was a good one.
You guys are fucking hilarious.
Let's see. We got Jennifer Burdick. How you doing, Jennifer?
Yes, Jennifer. Hi.
We got, of course, my most trusted accountant, Shannon Rossard.
Very beautiful young lady.
Mm-hmm. Somebody who really is, I'd say probably in the top five as far as crazy on our page.
Mm-hmm.
Trixie's
revolutionary, man.
She's revolutionary. She's downright crazy.
She's ready to I mentioned to her something on the page about listening to BBC because, you know, I get tired of hearing biased news all the time. I mean, you know, if you listen to Fox, it's biased one way. If you listen to MSNBC, it's biased another way. But I mentioned I'd like to hear, I said I listen to BBC because I think it's unbiased. But she straightened me out. It is biased and it's not revolutionary enough. So she is on the verge of starting a revolution.
She's an anarchist.
Yeah, she is. And I think that's cool. It's very sexy. Anarchists can be very sexy.
Oh, my God.
Unless they're men. And not
are you
so much.
Kidding me?
Yeah. No, anarchists are
quit
crazy.
Quit hitting on our listeners.
Because anything goes. Anything goes with an anarchist.
Yeah.
Let's see. We got Carla from down in Portsmouth.
My dear friend Carla.
Your dear friend Carla.
Mm-hmm.
Kim Taylor.
And I love the Kim Taylor who's always going live anymore. She's live on Facebook. And I don't know how to do that, but one day we're going to have to go
live. You know what? I'm afraid I'm going to be in the middle of something and my phone's going to go live on me. I don't even have that.
I always wonder if people can see me.
You know what? I worried that my camera's turned on my phone all the time.
But what happens if you go live and, you know what I mean? That could be potentially embarrassing.
It could be quite embarrassing. You mix up the Snapchat with the Facebook Live, and you got 300 that's followers looking at you, Johnson. And
that's exactly why I never take those types of pictures, because, you know, you post the wrong thing, and it's going to be pretty embarrassing.
Snapchat?
Of course, it might, you know, make me a lot of kudos. May get a lot of likes.
I know. Again, my penis is on Yelp. Right now, I got 4.94 stars.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know the Colonel's penis was
and
on Yelp.
And that comes straight from Snapchat.
Okay.
And Brandy, did
mine
I say
is on, mine is on, what's the review?
Back page.
Not back. No, it's on there too. Angie's List.
Angie's List.
Oh, Jesus.
You need help.
You need somebody to lay pipe.
Yeah.
Did I say Linda Castro? If I did not, Linda, thank you for listening.
Linda Middleton as well.
Linda Middleton. I'm not even going to mention her name. You know what? When Linda Middleton, I got to spit when I say her name.
Why?
Because she was on Team Colonel and then transferred over to Team Red Devil.
Oh, well. You have to satisfy your...
Apparently, team. I left her wanting.
Yeah, apparently. Now she's on Team Devil.
Brandy McKenzie. Here's a shout out to you. Thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. I believe Trish Hillard. We appreciate you listening, even though you wear occasional Cardinals gear. We don't like that at all.
Yeah, except the Reds suck this year, so it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, and the Cardinals kind of suck this year too.
Yeah, they're in second place though.
Yeah, but
for them, it's an out.
Trish got a daughter. It's a very, very good softball player.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, she's going to be a college. She's going to end up being a girl college softball player.
But I'm sure she'll
stay straight. She will not like. She'll be the exception to that rule because not every single one turns into a lesbian.
Like 99 out of 100.
It's like 97.
Yeah.
There's like three that aren't lesbians.
Yeah.
Of course, we got Lady Beverly. So, you know.
The very distinguished Lady Beverly.
Yeah, and Beverly, you're going to have to clear up. Somebody said that I couldn't be a knight, so you have to put that on the page. And, of course, you know, I feel like when I introduce this woman, you know, I've been to a lot of Bruce Springsteen concerts, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Bruce Springsteen concerts. And he'd go through and introduce a band. And he'd always save Clarence for last, Timmy.
I think if you've been to two Bruce Springsteen's concerts, that would be considered a lot, wouldn't it, Brandy?
No, that'd just be considered a start, Timmy. But he would always save Clarence for last, because Clarence was the favorite. I mean, of the band, everybody loved Clarence. He's everybody's favorite.
Right.
And he saved him for last, and he would always just introduce him to the crowd, and he'd say, "Do I have to say his name?"
Mm-hmm.
And a crowd would shout out, "Clarence, do I have
you
to say
have
his
to,
name?"
Otherwise, Clarence. You're not introducing them, right?
Do I have to say his name? So, and I always feel like when I get to this lady, do I even have to say her name? Dottie Scott.
She very, she
incomparable.
Very
much.
She
Dottie
said,
Scott.
She told me the other day she wanted to buy us pizza for when we do a podcast, and I told her, don't do that.
Did you tell her since I didn't get you anything for your damn birthday, you don't have to get me anything?
Right.
Maybe I should take you out to dinner, Mom, since I didn't do anything for your birthday. But
I actually saw her.
I got it on my calendar for next year. Me and Dottie got a date for dinner.
Okay.
So, Dottie, put that down in your book. Me, you and the Colonel going out to dinner. Timmy, you know, he's going to forget about it. Going to be out of town or some stuff. So, that's all I got. I got the autographed pictures of the colonel out in the mail.
I understand that. Did you really?
Yeah.
Did you really do that? Mm-hmm. I understand that you were, you got a new
project. I had a couple people request. Back in the 70s, Bruce Springsteen did this play, or not Bruce Springsteen. Smokey and the Bandit. What's his name? Burt Reynolds.
Right.
Burt Reynolds did a layout naked on a bearskin rug in front of a fireplace. And a couple of the listeners have asked me, Colonel, you know, is that something that you would consider appropriate? And I said, you know, I mean, again, you got to try to keep the listeners happy.
Right.
So
you don't keep them happy most.
So I will probably be doing a spread soon.
So you're going to be doing it more for... you're doing
it's a little racier than you used to.
A revealing photo.
I can't... Yeah, but it depends on the kind of lens. If they got the wide-angle lens, Timmy, I might be
able to... I mean, you're not going to, show your tallywhacker.
No. It's going to be tasteful, Timmy.
Okay. Oh,
it's going to be tasteful.
Okay.
I don't think that's possible.
It's just going to be me and...
sort of like George Costanza on Seinfeld.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, something like that. Okay. And
so you on a bearskin rug.
In front of a fire.
Looking very inviting.
I do not drink, but I'll probably be holding a glass of Chablis.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that is many ladies' fantasies.
Well,
Chablis.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The colonel likes it.
That's a French word.
It's a French word. It's a kind of wine, devil.
Chablis.
It's not the Thunderbird that you usually drink. But
the 1980s called it with the wine bag.
Yes. Burgundy.
Boone's Farm.
2020.
Boone's Farm apple. But,
what?
So, and we
strawberry. What was the strawberry called?
Strawberry, Strawberry Farm, Strawberry Field, something.
I think Strawberry Farm. I think you're right.
And we've got, over the last week, we've added 12 more members to the church.
Of Colonel, the Latter-day Colonel. The
Latter-day Colonel. And we've got, now they're just hatchlings right now, but we got 4 copperheads.
Really?
For the church, yeah.
Okay. So you participate, you use the serpents as a part of your, just like...
Well, I'm not going to fuck with those things. I'm scared of snakes, but I mean, we pass them around to the... basically, the guy, the way we do it is... A guy comes around with a collection plate in one hand.
Scott
is the keeper of, you know,
The snakes.
And Scott will have a collection plate in one hand and a copperhead in the other.
I see.
So it increases collections, Timmy.
I bet it does. Do they have to handle the snakes or?
No, they don't have to handle, only if they don't pay.
Oh.
So if you don't pay, this copperhead gets dropped in your lap.
Oh, I see.
And we've done this long enough. Scott has built himself up an immunity to the copperhead poison.
Oh, really?
Well, we let him get bit once a week for about the past 4 or 5 weeks.
Okay, so he get built up a
tough. Yeah, he's gotten to right now. He just gets a little bit of a fever.
No, that's good. So, Brandy, do you have any shout-outs before we get started?
Well, since I'd like to get started today, I just have a couple.
Okay.
Miss Celine.
Yes, Celine.
Who is awesome.
And awesome.
And Michael Birdsall.
Michael. Yes. Who is also awesome. As well.
He is also awesome.
As well as his girlfriend, Sydney.
Sydney, yes.
Sydney and the pups.
And the pups.
And Brittany, of course.
Brittany,
who kindly offered to be my stalker.
Well, I'm glad I don't have any more shout-outs because you just took right over. You can do your thing.
You got two names written down. How the hell you going to do
shout-outs? Don't worry
about it. You doing this out of memory?
Well, yeah. It's a fucking steel trap up here. But that's okay. You take over.
Right, I want to give a shout-out to Alicia and Chip, Cindy Lou, and Bridget. They are all sponsors on Patreon. We appreciate that very much.
So this show is brought to you by Cindy Lou, Chippin,
Alicia,
and Bridget.
Yes.
That's my professional announcer voice.
Yes, that's very good, Colonel.
Thank you, sir.
But thank you very much for your support. All right, so now we're going to get on to the story. Believe it or not, there is a story today. And it's about a serial killer. So we hope that, you know, that this story is not upsetting the people, because...
Why don't we just change the name of our show to Serial Killer Dweebs? Because most of our listeners don't give a rat's dick about history. They just want to know about serial
killers. That's not true. We have some who are interested in history, and we do some shows.
They're interested in people who killed people throughout history.
Well, they like
killed
that.
Lots of people.
Yeah. Well, whatever. We already got our brand, so let's stick with it. So today's topic is Crazy Charlie. Crazy Charlie, Charles Ray Hatcher. He was a serial killer. Started out as a petty criminal, and he worked his way up to becoming a serial killer. He confessed to murdering 16 people between 1969 and 1982, but he was only convicted of two of the slayings. It always makes me feel bad for these people who are murdered and they never get, you know, they're just kind of written off, you know what I mean? They get the death penalty and for one or two of the charges, and they just kind of, you know, it's too expensive for the state to pursue the other charges, and these people just, the other victims, they don't, you know, they don't get their they don't get justice. So, but anyway, he was convicted of two slayings, even though he confessed to 16. Is an unusual little fact. Charlie was bisexual. He molested men and young boys, but he was also convicted of the rape and murder of a young lady named Michelle Steele. So, I don't know if we've had that in any of the podcasts we've done so far. Most of them have been either
Carl Panzram.
Well, yeah, killed. I mean, we have people.
That guy.
We had people who killed anyone, but I mean,
well, you know what? Did Carl Panzram rape any women?
I'm not sure he did. I know he raped men, but so anyway, mostly when we do these podcasts, you have either a serial killer who is heterosexual and prey on members of the opposite sex, or they prey on, or they're homosexual and they prey on members of their own sex. But in this particular case, Charlie was bisexual, and he was no one was safe. Yeah. So Charlie Ray Hatcher was born on July 16th, 1929. So he would have just had a birthday, Colonel. What's today?
He'd be 87 years old right now, Timmy.
When was the 16th that just passed, right?
Yeah, 87 years old. He wouldn't be raping nobody now.
Nah, he probably couldn't even get it hard.
Well, I got to see Alice. That'll get an 87-year-old man hard.
Yeah,
gross.
He was born in Mound City, Missouri, in a small town 34 miles north of St. Joseph. I wonder how close that is to Charlie. Charlie's in Kansas City. I mean, she's in Kansas City, I think. I'm not sure where Mound City is, other than it's near to St. Joseph, and I don't know where St. Joseph is in relation to Kansas City, but Trisha is from St. Louis, right? So one of them has to be close.
St. Joseph, I believe, is right outside of St. Louis.
Okay. Charlie was the youngest of children born to Jesse and Lula Hatcher.
Lola?
Lula.
L-U-L-A. L-U-L-A. Lola.
Lula.
Lula. Lula. I forgot. We're not allowed to sing. They had four children. He was the youngest. His father was an ex-convict and an abusive alcoholic. Charlie's father, Jesse, drank heavily, and as a result, in addition, he was physically abusive to both Charles and his brothers. When Charlie was six, an odd thing happened. He watched his older brother, Arthur, die of electrocution. His brother was flying a kite with a copper wire that they had found on an old Model T Ford. So not very bright there at the young age, flying a kite with a copper wire. But anyway, he was about to hand
okay,
over...
Okay, Ben Franklin, what you trying to prove here?
Arthur was about to hand the kite to Charlie when it was hit by a high voltage... It hit a high voltage power line and executed. It's a kid. Don't laugh.
But who in the hell thinks, oh, you know what? I'm just going to use copper. Copper ain't even good for a cut.
You know who thinks that? Little boys.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Little boys.
So anyway, he was struck by, this kite got tied up into this high voltage power line and electrocuted Arthur. He was pronounced dead at the scene. And as a result, as often happens when a young child is killed, created a lot of stress in the family. His father would often get drunk and blame Charlie for his brother's death, and he would start beating Charlie. Charlie, growing up, apparently did not have the best hygiene in the world. He did not bathe properly, and was as a result, he was teased in school by his classmates. And he often took revenge by beating up his classmates. It was not
uncommon. Maybe they ought not teasing me.
Yeah.
They learned.
Yeah, yeah. You would think. Because there's, you know what? It's what's worse than a stinky 10-year-old. It's getting beat up by a stinky 10-year-old.
It's having a stinky 10-year-old laying on top of your ass beating the hell out of you.
It happened to Timmy last week.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Happened to Timmy last week.
Trying to play the knockout game with Timmy.
No. Riding the bus.
Luckily, he couldn't sneak up on Timmy because Timmy smelled him coming.
God. I had, anyway, it's not uncommon for Charlie to get into several fights each week. Charlie kept pigeons as pets. I think a guy growing up, I had pigeons as pets.
Rats too. With wings.
Yeah, rat birds. He kept pigeons as pets and would often show up to school with pigeons, pigeon droppings on his hands and clothes and in his hair. He smuggled pigeons into school and spent recess talking to his birds. So, you know, he was kind of an oddball.
It's so sad.
He was the Birdman of Stinky Trash.
Can you teach pigeons how to roller skate? Because I think that would be really cool.
I think you can.
Yeah, I think I've seen that before.
Or they're better skateboarders, though.
Are they?
Yeah.
Yeah. He once tried to drown a fourth grader by forcing the kid's head under a water fountain.
That takes a long time.
It earned him the nickname Crazy Charlie. So, he at least got a cool nickname out of it. When he was 9, his father left the home and divorced his mom. It was just, again, not uncommon when there's a death of a small child. Often that leads to divorce. When Charlie was 11 years old, he was caught fondling a 5-year-old neighbor boy, but he was not arrested. Once in gym class, Charlie was caught masturbating in the shower after class. And he was expelled from school for 5 days.
So that's frowned upon?
They expelled him from jerking off in the shower?
I wouldn't even be able to go back to my house.
I guess there were other people in there at the time.
Unless he was actually masturbating on somebody.
Which they could rinse off very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I think no harm, no foul.
I don't know. That would be disturbing.
At least Stinky was taking a shower.
Right. Are we not looking at the last pool here?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a good upside.
Silver lining,
yeah.
When he was 12 years old, Charlie kidnapped a neighborhood's cat and sent the elderly neighbor, the owner, a ransom note demanding $11 for the cat's safe return.
What the fuck, $11? What the fuck is that?
Where'd he come up with $11?
I don't know.
I mean, like a 20 spot? I mean.
But he made the mistake of writing the note on the back of a diner checkbook where his mother worked as a server.
Yes. I wonder if he cut out all those letters.
I don't know. You mean like block letters?
Yeah, ransom notes.
You know what? This was done on the movie 7 Psychopaths, which is an excellent movie. I recommend it to everyone.
Story of my life.
But have you ever really thought about kidnapping dogs?
No.
Because there's always a fucking reward. I mean, if I was going to get a part-time job, it'd be kidnapping animals.
Yeah, and waiting for the reward?
Well, and yeah, you just go around, look for the sign, and then, you know, reward. And then you say, hey, does this look like the dog?
But you wouldn't do ransom notes. You would just...
No, I just wait for the reward.
You want to be a professional kidnapper.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I'm not saying do it for a living, just make a couple extra bucks. on the side.
You just have to be careful and not get a not kidnap a talking dog.
I know, because those some bitches will turn you in.
Yeah,
or a parrot.
Yeah, or a parrot. That's why you got to stay away from fucking parrots.
Parrots ain't nothing but bad news.
They are not. They really are not. And And what happens to a parrot when a pirate dies?
He goes to his first mate.
Mm. Oh, is that how that works? Okay.
Right. No, he goes to whoever becomes captain next.
No,
he
goes to the first mate.
Cool.
Now, the first mate traditionally will give it up to the next captain.
So there's a...
And traditionally, the first mate becomes the captain.
Okay.
See?
See, to me, that... Okay.
I just opened a bottle.
So if the skipper on Gilligan's Island had a parrot, when the skipper died, which, you know, let's face it, with his cholesterol, he
right.
wasn't going to live very long.
A bad ticker.
Well, I think he'd know those coconuts.
That would went, the parrot would have went to Gilligan, had there been said parrot.
Had there been said parrot, the parrot would have gone to Gilligan. And... In theory, Gilligan would have been made skipper.
Which is really scary, because that motherfucker didn't know.
He didn't have a clue. But let me ask you something. How long were they on that fucking island? And that skipper stayed fat all...
That's what I was going to say.
The whole thing.
And here's the other thing. Hold on. The colonel, or the professor, he could build the most outlandish... You know, he was gay.
I don't
care. He could build the most outlandish shit.
He'd have to figure something out. You're on an island with a bunch of women.
No, I mean, he could build... You know, the guy's building himself a little nuclear reactor over here to keep
him... With some coconuts and bamboo shoots,
But the motherfuckers couldn't build a boat.
I know. But the skipper stayed fat.
Yeah, you would think. But I think he was... And I also think, you know, people always say ginger, if you were on the island with them for long
enough... Are you fucking Mrs. Howe? You want to fuck Mrs. Howe?
I do want to bang Mrs. Howe.
She's married.
I want to give Lovey some loving.
I think Mr. Howe gives Lovey loving.
Yes. No, Thurston, he was just too... he was always laying back in the hut, and I'd take Mrs. Lovey down to the waterfall.
Oh, well, yeah, he was probably banging Mary Ann because he had money.
Yeah. But, you know, those saggies of hers, man, you get them under a waterfall and get them all wet and perky, they stay, you get them cold.
Well, she would certainly have a lot of experience, but, Ginger probably had a lot of experience, too, being from Hollywood.
Well, Ginger did porn. Nobody knows that.
Hot dog in a hallway situation.
I always had a thing for Mary Ann and also Bailey Quarters from WKRP.
Oh, Bailey was
like the nerdy girls.
Yeah, I'll tell you, yeah. Bailey was, and I'll tell you, the other one, Marky Post on Night Court.
Well, she was certainly better than Billy.
Yeah, Billy didn't.
Oh, Billy was. Oh, she Billy was a fuck.
Personally, I like that little knock the buzzer off the gut wagon. That little bailiff,
the old lady.
Yeah,
she was funny.
Yeah, she was.
But Roz was funny too.
I bet she
died. That she died on the show, and then Roz came in, and I liked Roz.
Oh yeah, Roz was good.
Roz was the black lady that came in after her. Yeah, she was good. And Bull, he was good.
That was a good show.
It was a great show.
All right, so let's move on, shall we?
Where were we?
You're the one that digressed.
I know.
All right, so he sent...
I'm not done.
Well, no, I'm just saying he sent the thing. I'm recapping like you like to do.
Okay.
So he sent a letter to the neighbor on the back of checks from his mother's diner where she worked.
Yes.
All in cutout magazine letters.
Well, not really. He wrote a note. I'm assuming. I don't know. I haven't seen the note. But anyway, they were able. The neighbor knew that where the Charlie's mom worked, and she contacted the police. The cat was returned unharmed. However, 3 months later, the cat was found hanging from a neighborhood light pole. No charges were ever filed, so I'll let you draw your own conclusions.
So the cat started to snitch.
Well, the cat ended up
snitches
dead.
Get britches.
Apparently, she never paid the $11.
Stingy bitch.
His mother, Charlie's mother, married several times, and in 1945, which is, of course, the year the Second World War ended, Colonel, when Charlie was 16, he moved in with his mother and her third husband in St. Joseph, Missouri.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
All right. So, in 1947, when he was 18, Hatcher was convicted of auto theft in St. Joseph after he stole a fucking logging truck from the Iowa-Mississippi Walnut Company.
And those things.
His employer! He's employed by these people for 2 weeks.
Right.
And he stole one of their logging trucks.
Well, you never know when you might need a logging truck. I mean, you know, it's not perfect. It's not the sweetest ride in the world, but, you know.
He is clearly not.
If you're
not
trying to impress a girl, pull up in a logging truck.
Yeah. Ain't nothing.
You take him to a drive-in in a logging truck, you know you're going to get laid.
But you know you're going to piss off the people behind you.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, the thing is, they had logs on them, too. So, I mean,
well, he could build him a house.
All right. He was carrying some wood.
Yes, he was. Let's see. So, he stole this truck from his employer, and he received a 2-year suspended sentence. In 48, he was convicted of auto theft a second time.
Nice.
Because he stole a 1937 Buick.
Sweet ride. That's a sweet ride.
That's
a paid drama ride.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it had a V8. I think it had, you know.
Except it didn't have any logs.
Hmm?
He didn't have any logs with that one, but.
No, that had the V8 in it.
The Buick, a panty 37 dropper. Buick.
That's the one Al Capone.
It is a panty dropper.
Babyface. You know Babyface Nelson, those guys? You know how they always got away from the police?
Because they always had a V8.
They always stole the V8.
Yeah, cops never had them.
Cops couldn't catch them.
Okay. So, let's see.
I drank a V8 before.
I could have had a V8.
Could have.
I could have, too, but I chose not to. So, Hatcher was sentenced to 2 years in the Missouri State Penitentiary for that one. On June 8th, 1949, Hatcher was released from prison after serving a little more than half of his time. However, he was back in prison in just a few months after being convicted of forging a $10 check at a gas station in Maryville.
He's trying to, you know, he's still trying to... He tried to kidnap that cat for $11.
He's a suck criminal, is what he is.
Yeah, he needed to get a real job.
I guess you still get arrested for passing bad checks, but remember, that was a thing back in the day.
Yeah.
You didn't want to have that check floating out there if you didn't have enough money in the bank to cover it, like if you were trying to make it paycheck to paycheck or something.
Oh, you know what I did, Timmy? No.
Is your picture up on the wall holding
Renee
on the cash register?
Now Renee
accept checks from this man.
Mrs. Colonel's an accountant, you mm-hmm. know that. Mm-hmm. And she has always handled the money. Never.
Because she has all of it.
No, she never left me in charge of anything.
Which is a lie.
And because I'm a trophy husband.
Right.
And
she needs higher standards.
I have, you know, one or two jobs, and you know, one is pleasuring her. And as long as I do that, she doesn't really ask that much of them. But she was, when she had the twins, there were complications. And she spent the last month of her pregnancy in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So this is back before electronic banking and everything, you know.
Right.
And I'm getting her paychecks. She was working from the house, so they would mail her paychecks to the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm getting paid. But every night I'm going to the hospital right after work, you know, to spend time with her. and I'm getting paid, but I keep going to the money machine, and it keeps telling me I have money. Mm-hmm. So I'm not worried about it.
Right.
So I have, like, this one, you know, getting paid every you got paid every week,
yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. And so I've got, like, three of her paychecks and four of my paychecks just sitting at the house. And I'm not worried about anything. And because I keep going to the money machine, and it tells me I got money. So the thing keeps telling me I got money, and I go to the machine one day, and it tells me I don't have no money. So I think I better deposit these checks into my account so I got some money. Mm-hmm. And I go, and I go home.
This is why you're not in charge of anything, by the way.
And I have a letter from the bank that tells me that on this certain day, the day before or whatever, six checks have been presented for payment, that there was insufficient funds to pay these checks. One of them was a mortgage payment.
Right.
So I rush to the bank with these seven paychecks that I have.
Well, that's a bit disconcerting, Colonel.
It was disconcerting to me. So I talk to the lady, and the lady tells me, you know what, this never happened to you before. I understand. I tell my sob story about my wife pregnant with the twins and complications and whatnot.
Yeah, because women are suckers. You tell somebody who's pregnant with
twins. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so she says, I'll waive the fees for you. You get these deposited, no problem. And I was like, no, okay.
You know, you could probably get laid telling a woman that your wife is pregnant with twins.
Well, I'll tell you what happened after I had the twins, Timmy.
Okay.
So I asked the lady, how do we erase every record of this even happening?
Mm-hmm.
She's like, well, I can't do that. And I was like, no, see, I can't have a bank statement show up at my house that shows that I have bounced six checks.
Or my twins are going to be without a father.
Yes, I'm going to be mocked and castigated. And she has basically held that against me my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
So they waived it, and I deposited the money. And every once in a while, I will say, I will take care of it. Now, this Timmy was, the boys are 22 years old.
Right.
22 years ago, Timmy, 22 years. And I will say something. I said, did I tell you I'd take care of it? And she will say to me, you told me you were going to take care of the mortgage, too.
That's so she's still throwing it at me.
That's a harrowing tale.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So.
I'm just saying, women don't forget.
No, we don't.
No.
All right, so let's see. He convicted of, So he's 2 years in the Missouri State Penitentiary.
2 years?
2 years. On June 8th, 1949, Hatcher's released from prison after serving a little more than half of his time. But he went back just a few months later because he was convicted of forging a $10 check at the gas station.
Man, why risk your parole on a $10 check?
You know, this is what I don't get. He should have learned his lesson from kiting once.
Yes.
His little brother got killed for kiting. Now he's check kiting, and you would have thought that he would have learned.
You would have thought.
Mm-hmm.
On March 8th, 1951, Hatcher escaped from prison and attempted a burglary.
Okay.
But was caught and received two extra years in prison. So he served this additional time and was released from prison on July 14th, 1954.
He is crazy, Charlie.
Here we go. Let's see. He got out in 54. I don't know how long he was out before he stole a 1951 Ford in Orrick.
Another V8.
He and was subsequently sentenced to 4 years in prison.
And those muscle trucks, logging trucks.
Before he was sentenced, Hatcher attempted to escape from Ray County Jail in Richmond and received an additional 2 years.
So he's just...
What a jackass.
He's really tacking on the charges.
On March 18th, 1959, Hatcher was released from prison for the sixth prison sentence of his career. So,
bless his heart.
Well, here we go. March, April, May, June, 3 months later. On June 26, 1959, Hatcher attempted to abduct a 16-year-old St. Joseph newspaper boy named Stephen Pelham.
Okay, now here he's taken a left. Because, I mean, even though he had this fondling charge earlier,
yeah,
I mean, up to this point, it's petty theft. And, well, I mean, maybe Grand Theft Auto isn't petty theft, but you know what I mean. It's, yeah, it's non-violent crimes.
So he's threatening this kid with a butcher knife. Evidently, the kid didn't fall for it, and he reported the crime, and Hatcher was arrested when police stopped him in a stolen vehicle. This guy's a dumbass. Hatcher was sentenced to 5 years in the Missouri State Penitentiary for the attempted abduction and auto theft under the Habitual Criminal Act.
Well, after 7 convictions, it's pretty much, it's not even, it's a hobby now. I mean,
it's a career.
It's a career. It's a lifestyle. It's moved beyond that, yeah.
Well, while Hatcher was waiting to be transported to prison, he unsuccessfully attempted to break out of the Buchanan County Jail. Yay!
Charlie's just not real competent.
No, he's... He is,
He's the Gomer Powell of criminals.
Maybe. I was trying to think of a bigger fuck-up than that, but okay.
Gomer Powell.
All right. So, he arrives at the Missouri State Penitentiary, and he claims to be the most notorious criminal in the Northwest Missouri since Jesse James.
Well, yeah.
So this motherfucker who keeps getting caught, who can't jaywalk without getting caught.
Exactly. Who got busted trying to kidnap a cat.
Yeah. He...
Jesse James.
He's comparing himself to Jesse James. That is just entirely too much. That's,
now, you know how he could have got that $11.
He doesn't have a self-esteem problem.
Well, you know, that's stupid, though.
You know how people, when they kidnap people, they cut off a finger and send it to the people?
He cut off his own finger?
No. If he would have clipped one of the cat's little claws there, no, it wouldn't have hurt the cat. You just press a hand out and the claw pops out and you clip it and you just mail it to him.
I beg to differ.
No, it doesn't hurt him. We cut off all the time.
So this is the baddest motherfucker in Northwest Missouri. So it's not even like in the, you know,
in the whole state.
In the eastern part, you know, in Northwest Missouri, which consists of like 3 counties. So So he's a badass. On July 2nd, 1961, inmate Jerry Thargington was found raped and stabbed to death on the prison's kitchen loading dock. Hatcher was the only one missing from the kitchen crew at the time of the murder. He was sent to solitary confinement for Thargington's murder, but there was not enough evidence to convict him in court. While in solitary, though, Hatcher wrote a note claiming that he needed psychiatric treatment. However, the prison psychologist felt that it was a scheme to get him out of solitary and probably out of prison early. So they refused him treatment, which is always
a great idea.
Yeah, they probably should have took him at his word.
Yeah, and so they throw Hatcher back in Gen Pop.
Okay, I like
which
that.
That's a term I learned on Orange is the New Black.
I'm telling you, you got all that. You got that. Prison talk.
Well, she's been in prison.
So. I'm not afraid to go back.
The devil's ex con.
Yeah. His sentence was reduced to 3/4 the original time, and he was released on August 24th, 1963.
A lot of lesbians in prison.
Yeah. That's why she liked it.
After release from prison in 63, Charlie started using numerous aliases.
Do you think they're really lesbians, or are they just they're absent the wang?
Okay. Mm. And as many as 6
Hold
different
on.
Social security
Wait,
numbers.
We're on the thought here.
No, you're not. The aliases include Richard Martin Clark, Richard Harris. Oh, Richard Harris. He was such a good double door. Richard Lee Grady, Richard Lee Price, Earl
He was
L.
really big on Richards.
Well, mm-hmm. Earl L. Gelball.
He liked
that was a bad
he
one.
Liked him a big dick.
That was a bad one. Earl.
Yeah, these are victims. So yeah. I guess we shouldn't be making fun of them.
No, they're not victims.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They're aliases.
Oh.
These are aliases.
You make fun of these all you want. All right. Let's see. Albert Ayer, Charles Marvin Tidwell, Hobart Prater, Ronald Springer, Doris. What the fuck, Doris? Doris Mullins, Carl Kalebaugh. Oh. Albert Ralph Price, Doris Mullins Travis.
So he's AKA.
And Dwayne Lee Wilfong.
Wilfong?
I like that one.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Yeah.
Wilfong. Dwayne Lee, so he's a serial killer. Let's see. And he used, like I said, 6 different Social Security numbers over the years. The lack of sophisticated law enforcement databases.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6
What are you doing?
I'm like giving you the social security numbers he used.
Oh, probably, yeah.
And yeah.
God.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7
Yeah. All odds, all evens, that kind of shit. Oh, no doubt. So they couldn't really link the crimes because they didn't have a big, huge database like they do now. On August 7th, 1969...
You need a huge database, Colonel.
Well, somebody does.
Yeah.
Crazy Charlie...
I feel sorry for men who don't have a huge database like us.
We got the database.
Oh, yeah. God. Crazy Charlie abducted a 12-year-old boy named William Freeman in Antioch, California. He claimed he'd told the boy to come with him. He told the boy to come with him, taken him to a creek, and strangled him.
Yes, oh. See, I said, this don't make any sense. He just made a left there. I mean, he was going about his life, a petty crime.
Something snapped.
Yeah.
On August 29th, 19, so 2 days later, 6-year-old Gilbert Martinez was reported missing in San Francisco. According to the 6-year-old girl with whom he was playing, Martinez walked away with a man who offered him ice cream. He was found by a man walking his dog as the boy had been beaten savagely and was sexually assaulted.
Now, Colonel, this needs to be a lesson to you because you've been known to wander off with people who offer you ice cream.
I have a butterscotch disc. Wilford Brimley comes around, you can't ever find Chuck.
I will take some ice cream from
All we need is Henry Lee Lucas pulling around in a van, and you know who's in the van.
Oh, yeah.
The Colonel likes his ice cream. I can't help it. I got a weakness for ice cream.
It's a good thing Ted Bundy's not still around. My God. All right. So, police arrived and arrested the assailant. Was the assailant still there? The fuck? Who identified himself as Albert Ralph Price, although he carried identification with the... He just can't keep his shit straight. He carried identification with the name Hobart Prater. This little boy survived the assault. And the FBI records later identified the man as Charles R. Hatcher.
Yeah, he, you know, this is before that you know, police had sophisticated
databases.
And so, you know, he just changed his name and he
This is before VCAR.
Yeah.
VICAT.
Yeah.
And FBI profiling squad.
Yeah. So they.
Which actually, did I tell you about it? I spent a little bit of time with them, Timmy.
In Quantico.
When we were going to do this podcast, I wanted to research it, get more familiar with it, to research a show.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah. So you went down to Quantico, Virginia.
Yeah, they had a bunch of questions for me. I did a seminar down there.
I see.
You know, my dad actually went through FBI training.
You know, I worked for the FBI.
I wonder if we were in the same class.
I wonder. I'll have to ask him. So he's still going by the name Albert Price, and Hatcher was charged with assault with attempt to commit sodomy and kidnapping.
So how do you attempt to commit sodomy? Is that like when you got a Woody and you're lining it up and you just don't...
It's when you hit it with a floppy.
Because once... Just the tip counts as sodomy.
Yeah.
Just the tip
once you break
sodomy,
the plane.
Yeah, once you break that plane.
So he's... Well, yeah, once that seal's broken,
once you snap the ring, Timmy, right. It's sodomy.
Right. He was ordered to undergo competency evaluations to determine his
competence to commit sodomy.
Quickie.
I really stepped on my own line there. Because it was funny.
Well, hunting wabbits.
I know where you were going. It was funny.
Hunting wabbits. Hunting wabbits. God damn it. Okay. So,
you had a good one.
It was funny.
Damn funny.
Jesus. Funny for a different reason. A complete psychological evaluation.
No wonder stand-ups kill themselves, you know?
You get that killer ending. The killer closing.
What was your little joke?
No, I was saying, it's not funny now.
Oh, it's
funny.
So funny.
Go continue, please.
All right. So they did an evaluation, and it was ordered. And when Hatcher was unresponsive during the preliminary evaluations. So they had to do a complete thing on him because he just shut the fuck up finally. Wouldn't could answer their fucking questions. During this time, he claimed to hear voices and fake delusions and suicide attempts. That's too bad. On December 1970, Hatcher was sent back and forth between courts and the hospitals multiple times. One psychiatrist diagnosed him as having passive-aggressive personality. What the hell is that?
Passive-aggressive personality?
Yeah, well, I know what it is.
You would not recognize it when you've seen it, but me and Timmy have seen quite a bit of it.
I know what it, no, I know what it is, but is it a psychological disorder?
That's yeah, all I'm asking. It's pathological.
You're pathological.
See, there we go.
Let's see.
You would know that if you wouldn't.
If you weren't caught in the tornado of it,
yeah.
You could see outside.
If you had some perspective.
Oh, I got perspective.
Some empathy.
Yeah, shut the fuck up. So, the diagnosis was having a passive-aggressive personality with paraphilia and pedophilia.
You know sociopaths.
If you got any kind of philia, you got problems.
Well, yeah, philia is never good.
Ophilia.
Yeah.
Even if you got ophilia.
Yeah. I think that's fair to say. It was reported that the hospital staff...
I had an uncle. He suffered from ophilia.
Are we going to... Show me on the doll, Timmy, where the bad man touched you. Let's see. So the hospital staff felt like Hatcher was fabricating or exaggerating the symptoms of his mental disorder. So he was examined by two psychiatrists in January of 1971. He was declared insane by the first one, who recommended vigorous treatment in a secure hospital. The second psychiatrist declared him to be incompetent to stand trial and sent him back to the hospital. The fuck. On May 24th, 1971...
It wasn't because he was crazy. He was just incompetent.
There's a difference between either stupid or crazy. I mean, no. But you go back to a hospital either way. I don't think you can cure stupid. Let's see. On May 24th, 1971, Hatcher was sent to trial and pled not guilty by reason of insanity. He was sent to a different hospital for more evaluations, where it was determined that he was unfit to stand trial. Or stand up for that. It was here that Charles was diagnosed with antisocial personality.
Well, no, I think the first guy on the prison floor, when Charlie stuck his pecker in his butt and a knife in his back.
Yeah, he would agree with
was
that.
Was the first person to diagnose him with antisocial disorder.
Well, it was determined that Hatcher killed on impulse and seemed to have no conscience. On June 2nd, Hatcher escaped from the hospital. And was caught a week later and arrested for suspected what? Auto theft. Fucker can't steal a car to save his ass. It was under the name Richard Lee Grady. Hatcher was returned to the California State Hospital for a mental evaluation. When are they getting done with that? In April 1972, hospital staff determined that his treatment was unsuccessful and that he was a danger to other patients, after which he was sent to the prison state hospital. In, is it Vacaville, California?
Yeah, okay. That's good enough.
All righty. In August of 1972, Hatcher was transferred to San Quentin State Prison to stand trial 3 years after the crime.
I wonder if he sold him any cash when he was there.
I don't know. I wonder. That was Folsom, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
He was ordered to undergo two final examinations. One declared incompetent to stand trial, and the other determined him to... Wait a minute. The other determined him to be sane... At the time of trial. Okay. In December of 1972, Hatcher was tried for and convicted of the abduction and molestation of Martinez. In January 1972, he was committed to the California State Hospital as a mentally disordered sexual offender.
Yeah. So like he said, he took a left there. He was just a small-time criminal and all of a sudden...
But you know what? He stuck to his roots. He kept fucking up stealing a car.
Yeah.
He stuck to his roots a little bit.
You gotta respect that.
Taken a class.
You gotta respect that.
He should have taken a class.
Auto theft.
Community college, something.
Grand Theft Auto. They didn't have Grand Theft Auto back then. He didn't know how to do it.
Or he didn't know how to drive.
Now, Charlie, back... A little bit forward, March 28, 1973, security guards find Charlie hiding in a cooler near the hospital's main courtyard.
Fucktard.
He's got two sheets stuffed into his pants.
Is he two sheets to the wind?
He's got two sheets stuffed into his pants.
Was he getting ready to go on a date?
Well, he admitted he was going to try to
escape. Was he out of depends?
Exactly. Now, he got sent back to court for sentencing after the doctors determined he was still a threat to society.
So his plan there was obviously to shred those up and try to hoist himself over the wall or something?
I assume.
Yeah.
Or he was cold at night. I don't know. In May 73, a psychologist found Hatcher to be... And you're going to be familiar with this because I think you had this diagnosis too.
I doubt it.
A manipulative institutionalized sociopath.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's And I mean, that was, yeah, she's been diagnosed.
Would you say she fits that profile?
I would.
So in June 73, he attempted suicide by slashing his wrist after it was recommended that he be transferred to a maximum security prison. A psychiatrist diagnosed him with paranoid schizophrenia, but he remained at Vacaville. In August 75, guards reported that he was a good behavior in his parole review. In 76, the California Parole Board found that Hatch had improved dramatically through his time in prison and set a parole date of December 25, 1978. He was going to get a good Christmas present that year.
There we go.
So as a result of a bill giving inmates credit for time spent in jails and mental hospital, Hatcher received a modified parole date of January 1977. They moved it up. They released him.
Society is just waiting for him to get back.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. And this, I never liked this term. They released him to a halfway house. Now, is it a halfway house or is it a whole house?
Well, it's a whole house. It's just halfway between prison and freedom, I guess.
I guess, because if you go to a halfway house, do you go all the way to the house or halfway to the house?
You go all the way there. You just don't have the freedom as you would if you were out on your own.
Well, he was released in 1977, May of 1977, and on May 26th, just a year later, four-year-old Eric Christensen disappeared in downtown St. Joseph, Missouri.
Yeah, that's the sad part of this. This fucker walks after being diagnosed and being up.
His body turned up along the Mississippi River. He had been sexually abused and died of suffocation.
Aww.
The police questioned more than 100 possible suspects, including every pervert known in town.
Including this dude and all of his 27 aliases.
Yeah, but to no avail. One of them was Melvin Reynolds, a 25-year-old man of limited intelligence who'd been sexually abused himself as a child, and who had some homosexual episodes as an adolescent. Now, Reynolds, although extremely agitated by the investigation, cooperated through several interrogations over a period of months, including two polygraph examinations and one under hypnosis. In December 78, he was questioned under the truth serum. Mm-hmm. Truth serum, I'm sorry, Timmy. Sodium
pentothal.
Amytal. Which, in same thing, and made an ambiguous remark that intensified the police suspicion. 2 months later, the police brought the still cooperative Reynolds in for another round of interrogation. 14 hours. Finally, Reynolds gave in and said, "If you say so, I'll say so if you want me to." Now, 14 hours, you're just tired, you're hungry, you want
yeah,
to,
done.
You know, you'd do anything for some cheese crackers and some water. So in the days and weeks that followed, Reynolds embellished his confession with details that were fed to him, deliberately or otherwise. That was enough to convince the prosecutor to charge Reynolds and convince the jury to convict him of second-degree murder, and he was sentenced to life imprisonment.
Yeah, so this poor bastard,
he was just crazy.
Yeah, he just went along with him. It's kind of like at Dassey in that case up there in Wisconsin.
So he got life imprisonment.
Making of a murder.
4 years later, Reynolds was released when Charles Hatcher confessed to the three murders, including that of little Eric.
Jeez. Yeah, so this guy does 4 years in prison for a crime he didn't commit. He confessed to.
On July 29th, hikers found a nude, ravaged body of 11-year-old Michelle Steele beaten and strangled to death on the bank of the Missouri River near St. Joseph. And we're gonna have to. Well, I don't know how long she's lived out there. Maybe Trish Hiller can jump in on this, because I do believe St. Joseph is right outside of St. Louis. So maybe this is a famous thing up there. Hatcher was arrested the next day as he tried to check into the St. Joseph State Mental Hospital. While awaiting trial, he confessed to 15 other child murders dating back from 1969. The first victim, 12-year-old William Freeman, had disappeared in Antioch, California in August of that year, one day before Hatcher was charged with child molestation in nearby San Francisco. In another case, Hatcher pinned a crude map that led researchers to the remains of James Churchill, buried on the grounds of Rock Island Army Arsenal near Davenport, Iowa. It was then that he also confessed to the murder of little Eric. He was convicted of Eric's murder in October 1983 and drew a life term imprisonment with no parole for at least 50 years. Through eyewitness testimony, investigators were able to link Hatchett to the location of the Michelle Steele abduction. He was arrested for this murder while already in prison. Facing another murder charge, Hatchett just said, "Give me the death sentence." But the jury refused, recommending life in prison. 4 days later, on the colonel's birthday, December 7th, 1984, on a clear and cold morning, officers...
That is not the colonel's birthday.
December 7th was.
Not the year, though.
No.
Not the year, but my birthday.
Yeah.
So, as the colonel was out celebrating his 21st birthday and having his very first taste of liquor...
And your last.
And my last. On a clear and cold morning, officers made their routine schedule and shined a flashlight in Hatch's cell and found him... Hanged in his cell. Was hanged by a piece of electrical wire that had been
tied. Was he hanged or was he hung?
He was well hung, Timmy.
Okay.
Yeah. Very well hung. So anyway, it was a piece of electrical wire that had been tied to the brace of a heavy metal ventilation grate in his cell. The knot in the wire was located right behind his right ear there. Hatch's hands had been tied behind his back with a piece of shoelace.
Now, how do you kill yourself?
I believe somebody else killed him.
That's what I'm saying. How is that suicide if you're hanged with your hands tied behind your back? Seems a little suspicious to me.
It seems like Quincy would question that one.
But you know what? This guy's such a piece of shit. Why bother?
And I think that's true. That's probably what they decided. And you know, not that I'm.
That's probably what, not. You don't know what happened. That's concerning.
Well, the officers tried to revive him by throwing cold water on him, but he was already dead.
Well, at least they tried.
Yeah. The official cause of death was suicide. Charles Hatcher was dead at 55. A group of volunteers carried a fiberboard box containing Hatcher's remains to the prison cemetery to be buried. Before they got there, it was attacked by a group of hungry lions.
That's not true.
And he was eaten. Yeah, the hungry bears. I'm sorry, lions. What am I talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's crazy. That's just crazy.
That is. They're not indigenous to there.
So anyway, they're carrying this cardboard box. A couple brown lions come out. They attack the remains.
Lions? Bears.
Bears, I'm sorry. Lions and tigers and bears.
Oh, my.
A mountain lion. How's that?
There's a mountain lion that got him.
There you go.
They ate his remains.
That's not true.
And, okay, that didn't happen.
Okay.
So they buried him.
His brother refused to have anything to do with his remains.
Good.
But before they buried him, they did do a nice layout. Where they let the prisoners who had been abused by him previously come up and sodomize his dead body.
That is not true.
Did they have a nice buffet?
They had a wake.
Good spread.
But you know, here's again, this guy should have never got out. He should never have been paroled, and he killed two other kids. So.
Three other kids.
Yeah.
Other kids. It's
he's a dickwad.
They should have. My only thoughts on him is he should have been. He was murdered. We need to look into that.
Okay, why don't you do that, Colonel?
Well, I'm not really the researcher on this team.
And you don't really know where St. Joseph, Missouri is anyway, do you?
I'm going to find St. Joseph, Missouri.
You made that way too long. It's about two words too long. I don't know where Missouri is.
Brandy.
What?
What's your final thoughts on Crazy Charlie Hatcher?
He was a dick nose, but I have a thought on something else briefly.
Okay, well, please...
I have a thought.
Please share.
It is a brief thought. Just, you know, with everything that's going on in the world right now with Baton Rouge and France and all this.
You know, I've been to Nice.
I know you have.
I got nieces.
I know you do.
I've been to Nice in the Isle of Greece where I've sipped champagne on a yacht. I made like Carlo in Monte Carlo and showed them what I got.
Okay. So, you guys, with everything that's going on, just take a minute to be kind to somebody.
Especially me.
Not you.
Oh.
Take a minute to be kind to somebody, just because we're all here anyway, and it's just a nice thing to do. With all the ugly in the world, do something beautiful.
And if you feel the need to post pictures of your genitals, feel free to do that as well.
I don't think that's appropriate.
That does not apply to Jim Barron, Scott, Michael.
Any male.
Yeah.
I have to approve all those. So
nobody send pictures of their genitalia.
Okay.
Why are you trying to make this last moment? I'm being serious, and you're being a peckerness.
I'm just saying that there are some things that, you know, if you, I'm just saying it's good. Shows goodwill.
Priority. We got priorities here.
Okay. Before, yes. Very. Be nice to each other because we're living in a very. I don't even want to. Here I'm watching news on Thursday or whenever, Friday. And I'm watching TV, and breaking news comes on that, you know, the thing in Nice happened.
Right.
And I was kidding, but I was serious. I've been on that street, and, and Nice is a very beautiful city. And then, so then the next night I'm watching it, then the turkey coup thing happened. Yeah. Right? And then yesterday I'm watching it, and the Baton Rouge thing. I'm like, Jesus Christ. It's so depressing to watch TV.
It is.
Yeah, and Tanner said to me, he wasn't really joking. He's like, Dad, you know what? Do you feel like we're living in end times? Like, just things are just going to hell so quick that you never know. And, you know, although, you know, I'm of the belief that if, you know, everyone in that crowd had not and nice... If everyone would have had RPGs, you know, that guy would not have been able to get so far. So what is the lesson there? Arm everyone to the teeth. As much as you get, give them RPGs, if everybody would have had tanks, he wouldn't have got through there.
Be kind to each other. Be kind to somebody. And if you are kind to somebody, put something on the page and let us know about it, because that's something we would actually like to share.
And if somebody's kind to you.
And if you want to show your...
And if you want to show your jigglies.
Don't. There's no jiggly showing. No jigglies. Right.
Your thoughts are very well.
Although I do think, you know, to lighten the mood a little bit, because the devil raises some excellent points, that it's just not that hard to be nice to people. It's just really not that hard to be nice to people.
It's easier for some.
I find it exhausting.
I know you do, but it goes against your nature. And if you're willing to try, I think everybody can. But do you think on the show we should have, to lighten it up, you know what I think? We need to have some kind of contest. I mean, you know what I'm thinking? And I'm not even going to enter Rutabaga in it, because obviously he will win. But I think we should have a thread. We're going to start a thread. Post your pet thread. Because we've seen some dogs.
Not genitals?
Hmm?
Not genitals?
I don't know that they would go for that, Timmy. Okay. I'm behind it in theory. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying
to
think.
In practice, it gets messy.
In practice, it gets...
All right. So post pictures of your pet.
I can see Trixie throwing a pair out there. You know, no, Trixie's just crazy. I'm just teasing you, Trixie. But maybe a post your pet, post your cat, whatever. I don't know. Your kid, I don't care. Whatever makes you happy. Just post something on there that makes you happy.
There you go. Post things that make you happy.
Post things that, well, jigglies make us happy, so, you know.
Then post your jigglies on there.
Yeah, I'm going to post my jigglies.
You know what makes me happy is if we can wrap up this podcast.
I understand.
Where can people find us there, Brandy?
They can find us on Facebook. History Dweebs, and then History Dweebs the podcast is our
group.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook.
Join the group.
Please do.
We're on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. At History Dweebs 1.
We are on iTunes.
Yes, please leave us a review. We really appreciate them, and it helps people find us.
And those are the big ones, aren't they?
Yeah, Stitcher. But you can find us almost anywhere now that has this podcast.
Well, because we're very popular.
Our feeds are out there all over the place. Nah, we're just kind of slutty.
Whatever.
Colonel, any final thoughts?
No, I agree with what the devil had to say. I'm looking forward to another week here, Timmy, of doing another podcast. What are we going to be doing soon? Are we ever going to do a history podcast?
At some point, I promise.
I mean, we can pick a day that the devil's not going to be here and do something, you know, that's intellectual.
Yeah.
That's challenging to us intellectually.
Well, that won't be that hard.
All right, everyone. We'll see you next time on History Dweebs.
Good day, listeners.
Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.